The pangolin is officially the world's most trafficked animal, mostly to the east because the keratin scales are thought to be herbally and medicinally important, and also people like to eat the flesh. There are some strong suggestions that there might be a coronavirus link to the trade in pangolin meat in China. Tomorrow is World Pangolin Day. I mentioned earlier that I'm absolutely madly in love with pangolins. Been lucky enough to see three of Africa's four species. I haven't seen the giant pangolin, but I have seen the ground pangolin, which we get here in southern Africa, and I've seen the tree and long-tailed, or white-bellied and black-bellied, pangolins on several occasions in Central and West Africa. Rob van Vieren, best known as a funny person, but he's much more than that, is Rob van Vieren. He's a writer, he's an activist, and, Rob, a very good afternoon, a pangolin activist. How did that come about?
Hi, good afternoon. Yeah, it was kind of by mistake, actually. My wife, Danny, and I decided to write children's books a couple of years ago, and we were kind of inspired by a obsessive book of animals that our daughter loved, and we were kind of led by what was interesting her at the time, and one of the animals in this book that she kind of gravitated towards was the pangolin, and neither myself nor Danny even knew what a pangolin was. But just because Bijou, our daughter, was so interested in them, we included the pangolin in our first book as a character in our village. And as we did more and more research, we found out more about this incredible animal, and of course that it is the world's most trafficked animal. And then we got in contact with the African Pangolin Working Group, which is headed up by Prof. Ray Jansen, who's doing incredible work not only throughout Africa but throughout the world, in fact, to help protect the species. And we just became inspired and have kind of taken on the pangolin cause. Our second book was called The Great Pangolin Mystery, and it was all about the plight of the pangolin, and we wanted to find ways to kind of raise awareness and to point people in the direction of the African Pangolin Working Group, because I think so often with these kind of things, you know, you raise awareness, but then people are like, well, what do we do? How do we actually do anything that can make a meaningful contribution to the cause, and being able to align with people who are out there on the ground doing stuff and need the support in terms of kind of monetary donations was so important for us to find Prof. Ray and the African Pangolin Working Group. And so we've also just been trying to send as many people in that direction as possible so that the money can go in the right direction to people who are actually making a difference on the ground.
I suspect, Rob, it might be a little more difficult, or perhaps even a lot more difficult, to get people actively involved in the conservation of a species about which they know little and which they are almost certainly never going to see in their lifetimes, because there's so few of them, their habitat is so threatened, and they are such shy animals. It's, you know, it's easier to get people upset about the cheetah, for example. I mean, have you picked that up as you and your wife have moved around the country doing pangolin conservation?
You know, interestingly, that is certainly something that we were very worried about. And you get these kind of big star animals in the whole conservation arena that get all the press, you know. And the rhino, quite rightly so, is like the big star. But then when you start to unpack, you know, how the bushmeat industry is working, and how the sale of rhino horn is also connected to the sale of pangolin scales, and it's all for the same thing in terms of medicine in the east. And then you realize all these animals are being wiped off the face of the planet at such an alarming rate. I don't know. I think you make the connection and you realize it's about bigger than just those kind of high profile big star animals. Also, when you get to see a picture of a pangolin, you immediately get this really palpable sense of how magical this creature is. There's something quite otherworldly about them, and they convey a sense of their personality that I think really touches people on a quite a intuitive primal level. And then, of course, the more you find out about them, the more you realize, well, this is an animal that has evolved. It almost evolved this like absolutely 100% perfect evolutionary survival plan. For 85 million years, it has had really no natural predators that have caused any kind of threat to it. And, of course, now human beings have bypassed that evolutionary kind of fail-safe and are wiping them off the face of the planet. And then you also realize, getting to meet the African Pangolin Working Group and how incredibly resilient these animals are in terms of their evolutionary development, but then how sensitive they are as animals. And what really struck me is that a lot of the problem with taking them out of the bushmeat trade is to rehabilitate them back into the wild.
I have a friend, Rob, who runs, he runs a conservation lodge in the Central African Republic, and they've been doing a lot of pangolin rehab. And I think that at the moment they have something like 70 white-bellied and black-bellied pangolin that they have released, many of them with satellite tracking devices, so they can, work out where they go and learn a bit more about their behavior and habitat.
Yeah, they've got a constant kind of track of them and watch them all the time, because the trauma of being taken out of their natural habitat and put into these noisy, terrifying environments is actually what kills them off. A lot of pangolins are freed from the trade and then set into the wild again, set free, as it were. But then they don't know how to forage anymore. They don't know how to hunt and termites, and they die almost from the trauma. So when you start kind of unpacking those stories and sharing that, it connects with people on a very visceral level, is what we have found.
Keep doing it, Rob. Keep doing it. You and Danny are doing wonderful, wonderful work with the books, with the talks, with the TV. So keep doing it. The pangolin activism world needs more people like funny person Rob van Vieren and Danny, his wife. The Great Pangolin Mystery Book. Look out for it. Read it to your children. Read it to yourself.